Okay, right side. Today's daf is daf Yud Beis. We're holding the Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Mishnah 5 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Says the Mishnah, Ir Sheyesh Ba Avodas Kechavim. Now, when we use the term Ir Sheyesh Ba Avodas Kechavim, means that today is that holiday, that religious holiday of the Avodas Kechavim, whether it was the Kalanda holiday or any of the others that we have enumerated previously. Says the Mishnah, Chutzala Mutter. I don't have to worry about doing any transactions with the people that live close to, but not in the city. As long as it's Chutzala outside the city, you don't have to worry. And, as we'll see shortly, what the Mishnah is telling us is that the people that lived in the main city had one holiday, and the people that lived Chutzala had a different holiday. Maybe you could say, like today, that the people inside the city were all, let's say, Catholic, and the people outside of the city were all Methodist, Protestant. In other words, they had a different type of religion, and therefore they had different holidays. So just because in the city itself they were all celebrating the religious holiday, Chutzala is mutter, because they didn't celebrate. On the other hand, what happens if the outside city, the Chutzla, it was their day of the holiday, then Toicha Mutter, then inside the city is good. So basically what the Mishnah is telling us is, just because you live close to the city doesn't mean that you follow the religious holiday practices of the city. Now you're wondering, well, how far are we talking about? We'll see that in the Gemara in Mi'at Hashem momentarily. So that was halacha number one. That the two separate jurisdictions, inside the city, outside the city, the two have separate holidays and never the twain shall meet. Now the Mishnah introduces a brand new halacha. Ma'u leilech lisham. Are you allowed to travel on the road leading to the ir sheyesh ba'avodas kechavim? In other words, it's that big religious holiday. It's on a Monday morning. Am I allowed to go and travel to that town? What's the shaila? The shaila is whether or not people will look upon me. If I'm traveling to that town, maybe I want to participate, chas v'sholem, in that holiday, in the sense of, I might also, chas v'sholem, be bringing sacrifices to the Avodah Zarah. So therefore, we have a shaila of maris ayin. And the Mishnah tells us, bizman shederech miyuchedes lo'isei mokim oser, if this is a road that only goes to that city, nowhere else, not to the right, not to the left. It's basically a dead-end road ending in that town, in that city. If that's the case, then it is asur, because people will be choshed. You know why he's going to that town? Because he wants to participate in the ceremonies and in the rituals. However, it happens to be the type of road that goes through the city, but then leads you to other places as well, then it's mutter, because anybody that sees you driving or traveling on that road will assume that you're going somewhere else. Why would an Erlech Chayiv be going to this base of Avodah Zarah? But if there are other, the road breaks off into other directions, so he's going to the other place. He's not going, chas v'sholem, to do Avodah Zarah. Okay, so let's go back to the first halacha. The first halacha was that if it's a city that celebrates a particular religious holiday, we do not assume that the chutzala mentioned also practiced that holiday. So, what's the measure over here? Is it, 500 feet away, or is it 10 miles away? So, Reb Shimon ben Lakish, Mishum Reb Chanina, Kigoin Etloize Shel Al Aza. We're talking about Etloize. The word etloiza is similar to the word itliz, which you have from time to time in the Gemara. And itliz was a mokim of a meat market. That's where the shochtim got together, and that's where the customers got together to go and buy meat. Interesting that the Mishnah uses itliz with an ayin instead of with an aleph, and that's similar to the first Mishnah in our Masechta, lefnei idein. Is it with an aleph? Is it with an ayin? Anyway, Barashi says that etloiza Shukshul Behema is like itliz that you commonly see in the Gemara. Now the Gemara doesn't tell us how far the meat market of Aza was from Aza. By the way, parenthetically, as you know, Aza is what we call today Gaza, which unfortunately is in the news every day. So now it's in the news in the Gemara. How far is the meat market from Aza? I don't know, but the assumption is not very far, because people want to go and buy meat. They don't want to travel 20 miles. They want to travel to a local location. So presumably, it was quite close. And nevertheless, it's telling us that the people that lived in the meat market or in the surroundings, those people had a different chagah, a different holiday than the people inside the city itself. The Ikad Yamid is another version, not that Rish Lakish said b'shem Rab Chanina, but fakert boy minay Rab Shimon Lakish me Rab Chanina. Shimon Lakish asked Rab Chanina, et lo yizishel Aza mahu, is that considered to be so close to Aza that it's basically just a continuation and extension of the city? And therefore, if a particular day is a religious holiday, you assume that the people that live in that Etloiza also celebrate the same holiday? Or do you say that that's far enough away that it has the status of Chutzala like our Mishnah? Amalei. So Reb Chanina answered him somewhat rhetorically. Loi halachta litzar miyamecha v'reisi Yisrael v'oyvi kechovim sheshafsu shtei kedeiris al gabe kira achas leichoshu lehem chachomim. Haven't you ever been to Tzor? People say that Tzor today is Tyre, T-Y-R-E, which is a city in modern-day Lebanon. And haven't you ever been there? And you know that that is a city where there are both Yidden and Goyim living together. And you can sometimes find both of them cooking something in their own separate pots on the same stove. Of course, today this would be unheard of because everybody has their own stove in their own home. But that was not necessarily the case years ago, where people couldn't afford or they didn't have room for their own stoves. So they had one common stove, presumably for, I don't know, for the neighborhood or for the block or for the building, whatever it was. So you could have on the same kira at one time two separate pots. One pot which contained in it glatt kosher meat with 12 hashkochis, and the other one was a pot of the goy that had 12 hashkochis, and it was treif. So you can have these two kederes next to each other, and the chum were not nervous about it, and they allowed for it. And therefore, says Igmar, just like they weren't makbid on having two kederes, one next to each other, one kosher, one non-kosher, similarly, they're not concerned about the loyze shel aza, and therefore there is no isur of transacting business with them, either prior to or beyom idam, because of the fact that we can assume that these are two separate communities, that the Aza is one community where they have their religious holiday on one particular day, and the Tluzishal Aza, you can assume, had a religious holiday on another day. So even though you cannot do business with the Aza people, you can do business with the Etloizishal Aza people. And of course, the same and vice versa. And Shelley wants to add a witticism to this discussion.
No, just again, never the twain shall meet.
Exactly. Beautiful. So, Zokti Gemara yet. So this was Reb Chanina's answer to Reish Lakish. Now notice he didn't really answer the question. He just said, just like in Tzur, they were not concerned about two pots together on the same kira. So here too, they were not concerned about Loizishal Aza being close to Aza. And he uses the expression, Loichoshu Lehem Chachom. Freytimar, my Loichoshu Lehem Chachom. Now, this Loichoshu Lehem Chachom is referring to, therefore, two separate halachas. Halacha number one, that in Tzur, they were not concerned about the fact that they had two pots together. Number two, that we're going to extrapolate from that, that we're not concerned that the people Chutzala in Etloizishal Aza have the same religious holiday as the people in Aza itself. So the Gemara wants to understand, what's the connection between those two halachas? L'choira, these are Kirochi Mizrach Mimarev. The only thing that we see is that in both cases, says Rab Chanina, the Chachamim were not concerned. L'choshlem Chacham. But what does that mean in real time? What would be the cheshash that I'm not choshesh? And I'm going to have now three separate answers to that question. We're going to have Abaya, Rava, and Rava Bar Ula, each trying to explain what was loichosh lehem chachomim in the case of the two kederos, and then How do you learn from that to our situation about the Avodah Zarah religious holiday? So Amar Abai, Misham Bosan Avela Loi Amrinan, Dil Mahader Apel Yisrael Le'achoyre, V'shodi Oivik Echovim Nevela Bekdeira. Says Abai, the Lechoshelem Chachomim was for the Isser Dioraisa of potential Nevela. What does that mean? Says the Gemara, Dil Mahader Apel Yisrael. After all, we're talking about two people that are cooking separate meats in two separate pots. What happens if the Israel turns his face away for a minute or two? Maybe he goes to use the Beis HaKisei, maybe he goes to take a coffee, whatever it happens to be. And during that time, whilst he's not looking, maybe the goy who has that second kedera right next to him, he might decide to take out a piece of nevela meat from his pot and maybe put it into the pot of the Jew. Now, if you're wondering, why would he do that? Either because he's lahashmid al-harig, he wants that the Jew should sin. But why should I even assume that? Why would the goy care? But it could be another financial reason, and that is that the goy may have noticed that the meat that was cooking in the Jewish pot looks like real geshmaka meat. Ah, real metal tamim, a real lechweis, a roast beef or a French roast or who knows what. And maybe the one that he has in his pot is kind of an inferior type of meat. So he figures to himself, oh, I'd love to have that roast beef. It smells so good. When the Jew is not looking, I'll make a switch. And I'm going to take some of his meat and put it into my pot. And I'm going to take some of my meat and put it into his pot. So you might think that there is such a concern. Says Imar Lechoshlem Chacham, the Chacham, and we're not concerned with that. Says Rashi, therefore, since I'm not... Yes.
Along those lines, they should be concerned with the spoons and all they're using too, whatever.
The Gemara doesn't discuss that. See, Gemara is assuming that each one had their own separate ladle. But what you're referring to, Reb Shlomo, just wait another moment. We're going to have Rava and Rava Bar Ula. They're going to have other concerns similar to what you're saying. We'll see that in Yetz Hashem momentarily. In the meantime, Rashi explains, the chashash of Bosa Nevela would be an Isser D'Oraisa. You're now going to eat Nevela. And if Chas Hashem, the goy, put Nevela meat into your pot, oy, oy, oy. What would be now the chashash by the two cases of the Avodah Zarah? Says Rashi, the chashash would be, maybe he'd be over on, if the goy sold him, forget, if this Jew, Biyoim Id, bought something, he might receive, and he received the money. He is selling something to the goy, and he's receiving money from him. Maybe that money is Demei Avodah Zarah. Demei Avodah Zarah is Osir because of the Pasuk, Liyidbak Biyorcha Ma'uma Min Hacherim. See, if you look at the Gemara, we only did the first part. Amar Abaye, third line. Mishem Basa Nevela Lo Yamrinan. I'm not... Gemara asks, My Lo Choshelem Chachomim, what are we not concerned about? Said Abaye, I'm not concerned about Basa Nevela. That what? Lo Yamrin. Somebody please put yourselves on mute. There's some background noise. Lo Yamrinan Dilma Mahader Api Yisrael Lachoyrei V'shodi Oiv Chachomim Nevela Bekdeira. I'm not concerned that perhaps the Yid turned his back to the pot for a minute or two, and then during that interval, the goy went and switched or put nevela into the Jew's pot. The kavosa. So similarly, in our case, I'm not concerned about the chashash of demei avodas chacham. Now, what means demei avodas chacham? So Rashi learns that it's talking about that the money itself that he is receiving from the goy, maybe that has a status of demei avodas chachamim. Now, what is the definition of demei avodas chachamim? Rashi is not crystal clear. Tosis, however, explains Rashi in a very unique fashion, that just like you bring for a sacrifice an animal, or for libation you go and pour wine, some people used to go and give a sacrifice money to the avodas zarah. Really? Where do you see that? So look at the third Toises. The Kavasa Hachanami Lechosha Chacham. Toises brings Rashi Pirsha countries to name it Domim Halolu Shu Lokiach Mehen Boser Zu Shel B'nei Toicha After all, he is at this place of the Etloizah Shel Azav, and therefore he might now be selling meat over there, and he's receiving in return money. I don't have to worry about that money, Ukvar Hayu Nikrovim Lavoidis Chichovim, that money itself that he is receiving from the goy, maybe that money itself was used as a takroivis vavoidis zora. Vatsun midiraisa. I mean, that's, it sounds a little bit strange and unique, but that's how Tosis is learning, and the Ran and other Meforshim learn the same shot in Rashi, that you can have a takroivis, a sacrifice of money itself, that a person brings on the altar of the church, in front of the Avodah Zarah, in front of the idols, he brings money. And if that's the case, then the money has now a din of Takrovis Avodah Zarah, and therefore you have the Pasuk of Liyidbak B'yarcha Ma'uma Menacherim. You're not allowed to go and take for yourself not only the Avodah Zarah, but even the Takrovis Avodah Zarah. That's how Rashi learns. The Ran brings a second shot, based on a Gemara later on in Daf Samach Dalid, which we'll get to that in several weeks, that there's another definition of Tamei Avodas Chichavim, and that Tamei Avodas Chichavim means what happens if you have an idolater who owned idols and decided he had one idol too many, and he sold the idol, and he got for that idol $10, $20, whatever it was, that money itself now becomes impressed with the shame Avodah Zarah, and therefore if he gets that money now in a transaction in the Itlish Shel Aza, he's getting Dmei Avodah Zarah. And the halacha is, Lo Yidbak B'Yarcha Ma'uma Menachera, says Abaye. That's what Reb Chanina meant. Just like I'm not noivis and concerned about that the goy put Basa Nevela into your pot, I'm not concerned that if I'm going to go and have a transaction with the goy in this Itlish Shel Aza, that he's going to hand me Dmei Avodas Chichavim, which was either used already for a sacrifice, like the first pshat, or that was money that was received when he sold an Avodah Zarah, an idol or two, he got this money. I don't have to be worried. L'choshu Chacham. Zokt Rashi, ve'koshkein en l'chavada. If we're talking about who is the one that may have had this Tamei Avodah Zarah on the Yom Id, those are the people inside the original city in Aza, because for them it's a holiday, and it makes sense that this money could have that din of the Tamei Avodah Zarah. Is Koshkin, if you're talking about Chutzalah in the Itlish Shel Aza, then why should I even assume that the money came originally from Aza, that it was used for a sacrifice, or it was the sale proceeds of Avodah Zarah? So therefore, I'm not concerned, and that's why you are allowed to go and transact business with the guys in Lo Yishal Aza, even though it's quite close to Aza itself. So that's how a violence. Yeah, everything.
When we said, for example, with Demei Shriyas, if someone uses Pera Shriyas, so the Kesa becomes also has to do Shriyas. So the Havdil here also, what we say is if it was given for Avodah Zarah already, it's sort of nifas, the tuma of it, and therefore it should continue on in a similar way as we have impressed, as you said, with this, it should keep going on, it shouldn't just stop it, but wherever he uses money, keep using it, it have the prohibition of the prohibition of Avodah Zarah.
There's no doubt what you're saying is correct. If you know for a fact that this money was the Mei Avodas Chichavim, then it's Osir, and you're Oivra and Isir of Layidbak B'Yorcha Ma'uma Menacherim, you got to get rid of it ASAP, as if you have poison in your home, Aros, it's an Isir, you're not allowed to have it. Here, however, the question is, do I have to assume that this money is the Mei Avodas Chichavim? So Rashi says, if you are transacting business, B'Yoim Id Shalahem, in Aza itself, where today is the big religious holiday, then everything that you're touching may very well be contaminated because either that it was used for the Kravis Avodah Zarah or because it is the sale proceeds of Avodah Zarah. However, here we're talking about Chutzalah. Chutzalah means in that it loizeshel Aza. So now, which are talking about maybe that the person in the Moshe Shal Aza received the funds from Toicha, from Aza, and maybe the funds of Aza were Tamei Avodis Chachav. So it's like a double gzeira, if you will. And says, Ar Gemara, says Abaya, Azoi Vait, so far removed, you don't have to worry. Ein Echanami, you cannot do that transaction of business in Aza itself, yeah? Because you may have all of these issues. However, once you move from Aza to Loizah Shal Aza, the likelihood of the money that you are receiving today is the May of Oedis Chachavim is remote, and therefore, Lechoshu Lohem Chachavim. And therefore, you can go and transact as much business as you want in that other town, meaning in the Loizah town, because you don't have to worry about that. Number one, there's no problem of Yoim Itchalahem, because it's not their holiday today. Number two, you don't have to worry about it. It's May Avodis Chachavim. For the same reason, it's not their holiday today. Zokti Gemara Vaitse, that was a Abaya. Rova says, My Lechosh Lehem Chachomim, not the din of Nevelim. Says Rashi, it's so remote to assume that the Goy who has his pot of Nevelim, he's going to take out a piece of Nevelim meat and put it in the Jewish pot and the kosher meat. I'm not worried about that. That sounds very far-fetched. But what am I worried about? Mishum bishuli oivdi kachavim, maybe of Bishul Akum. Now, what would be the Bishul Akum problem? Says Rashi, maybe this guy is very friendly with this Jew, and therefore he saw the Jew went out for a couple of minutes, and he smells the pot, and it sounds like it smells like things may start to burn. So what he's going to do, he's going to go and put, and now getting back to Shlomo's point, he's going to use the Jew's ladle to go and stir up the pot to keep it fresh, to make sure it doesn't burn and to make sure that it cooks well. And therefore, he might be engaging in Bishul Akum. Oh, Bishul Akum is not awesome in HaTorah, but it's awesome in Rabbanan. Ah, do I have to be concerned about that? Says Rava, just like I'm not concerned, Lechoshlem Chacham Mishum Bishul Akum, the Kavosa Chanami Lechoshlem Chacham Mishum Yoim Edom. Just like that's an Issad Rabbana Bishul Akum. Bishul Akum, remember, does not mean that we're concerned about using non-kosher ingredients. We know for a fact that every one of the ingredients that was used in this food item is super kosher with best hashkochas whatsoever. Just the fact, however, that the goy is cooking it has a din of Bishul Akum. And the main reason for the Issad Bishul Akum is not because of kashrus, but rather because we're worried about of fraternizing Jews and Goyim together, that they're going to share the same table when the Suda is taking place, even though he is eating his own food and he's eating his own food. But one thing can lead to another. They might start having a drink, and then the drink might lead to possible, oh, I hear you have a daughter and I have a son, and maybe they should go and meet them, blah, 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 and chas v'sholem, there's a chash of assimilation, which could lead to the children and the grandchildren, chas v'sholem, all being oivdei avodah zarah. So says our Gemara, again, even though the two pots are one next to each other, we can assume the goy is going to mind his own business and the Jew will mind his own business. You don't have to worry about that the goy is going to start stirring the pot and chas v'sholem and iser of Bishul Akum. So just like I don't worry about that, I'm not worried about the Yoim Edom, that just because in Aza they have their holiday, I don't have to worry about that the Atloza people have the same holiday. Because they're two separate communities. They are Catholics, they are Protestants, and they don't mix when it comes to their religious holidays. That's how Rava learns Pshat. Rava bar Ula Omar lechosh lehem chachomim mishum tzinura. What means tzinura? Tzinura, in this case, means what we would call in Yiddish, a spritz. What means a spritz? By the fact that the two pots are next to each other, what happens if the Goyish pot starts bubbling and it spritzes a little bit into the Jewish pot? Oy vavoy, in my delicious chulent that I'm cooking for Shabbos, I'm going to have chas v'sholem some spritz from the Nevela pot. Ay, 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 ay. Says Rashi, you know why the chum are not choshesh? Number one, that one pot should spritz into the other pot is in itself a remote concern, because after all, we're not talking that they're touching each other and we're worried about a bleed. You're worried about that it's going to bubble so much that some of the bubbles, some of the thing may spritz from one to the other. That's kind of remote. And even if it were to occur, guess what? It's going to be batel b'shishim u'be'elef, because it's going to be such a small amount of spritz against that other big pot. So you don't have to be concerned. And Shelley wants to add a very witty comment.
Why should they be stirring the pot?
Exactly. They don't want to be stirring the pot, and therefore lechoshu lehem chacham. Zok yetz Rashi, similarly, if you're talking about, so Rashi for the first time over here, according to Rab Bar Ula, distinguishes between B'yoim Edom itself and the 3 days before, what we call in the beginning of the Perek, or the beginning of the Mesechta, Lifnei Edein. Says Rashi, B'yoim Edom of the B'nei Aza, Reb Chanina would say, not only do not do business with the B'nei Aza, but don't do business with the B'nei Etloiza. What's the reason why? Because when it comes to Bishul Akam, says Rashi, that's not a serious concern. Because as long as the Jew lit the fire initially, automatically the food will all be Bishul Yisrael, even if after that you had the chef stirring the pot, as Shelley was saying. And that's a heter very often that many of the Hashkochas use even today, that you have a mashkiach in a kitchen where the actual chef may be from China or from Japan or who knows where he's from, and he's the one that's doing all the cooking, is putting in all the ingredients. As long as the mashkiach lit the flame initially, and he's a yotze v'nichnas to make sure that the non-Jewish chef doesn't put in anything else, which is treif, then we're okay. So he says, I don't have to worry about that in the interim, like Rava says, that maybe the Jew turned his face the other direction, he wasn't watching, and now he went out for a minute, and the goy went and he started stirring the pot because he wanted to do him a favor. Maybe the Bishul Akam. No, there's no Bishul Akam. As long as the Yid started off cooking the pot initially, with the Gecholim, he lit the flame, you're okay. However, when it comes to the Ovi Gecholim, I do have to worry about B'yoim Id Shelehem on the actual holiday, that maybe the people who live Chutzala, such as in the Etloza, since it is so close to Aza, I gotta be nervous, and therefore don't allow for transacting business with the Etloza people on the Yoim Id itself of the ear Aza. However, when it comes to 3 days before, that you don't have to worry. Azoy Vait, the Chachomim were not nervous. They were concerned on the day itself, the Yom Id Shelehem. That's the actual holiday. But before, 2 or 3 days before that, like we had in the first Mishnah, there we say that the Etluza is far enough away from Aza that I'm not concerned that the person I'm transacting business with in Etloza also considers today to be a holiday. I'm not worried about that. So on the holiday itself, I am concerned. But 3 days before, I'm not concerned. And that's the lashon of the Gemara. Rabba Ula Amar Lechosh Lehem Chacham Mishum Tzinura. I'm not concerned about the possible spritzing from one pot to the other. The Kavosa Hachanami Lechosh Lehem Chacham Mishum Lefnei Dein. I'm not worried about the 3 days Issa before. But I am worried about Be'id Shelehem on the holiday itself. That since Etloiza Shel Az is so close to Aza, maybe the person I'm doing business with is an Aza person in disguise, so to speak, and he also celebrates the Aza holiday because he is a fervent follower of the Aza Avodah Zarah and not the Etloiza Avodah Zarah. So we have the three Pshatim. From here, Rabbeisai, it's quite smooth sailing. It's much simpler. Remember, the second halacha of the Mishnah was that if you are traveling on a road to Lamashal Aza, B'yoim Id Shelehem, on the day of their Avodah Zarah, if the road ends in Aza, then you're stuck. You're not allowed to use that road on their holiday because of Maris Ayin. People assume that you want to go and do the Avodah Zarah in that town. However, if the road continues on in other directions, no problem. People figure they're just going on this road because you're not going to Aza, you're going somewhere else. Jok Digimara. So we have now a brisa which expands upon this and brings related halachas. Ir sheyesh b'avodas chacham. Whenever it says ir, says Rashi, that means today is the Id Shelehem. Today is their holiday. Also, l'konas l'toicha. You're not allowed to go and enter into that town on that day because people will say, why is he going to Aza on their big holiday, like a Kratzma holiday? Why would he be going there? Chas v'shalom, maybe he wants to participate in the Mass. He wants to go to the church and he wants to do Avodah Zarah. Don't do it, Marisai. What happens if you were already there the day before and you want to leave that town on their holiday, saying, that's not my holiday, Chas v'shalom, I want to leave. Don't leave that day either. Why? Because people see you leaving that town. What were you doing in that town in the first place? Oh, maybe Chas v'shalom, you were participating in the service of that Avodah Zarah. To alleviate any potential problems of Maris Ayin, don't go in and don't leave on that day. Divra Meir, and Ariel has a question.
Well, whatever happened to being Don LeCop's chus?
My good friend, have you heard of the din of Maris Ayin? Maris Ayin means...
That trumps being Don LeCop's chus?
No, the Kav L'Kav Schus, where the Chachamim were Goyzer Mishum Maris Ayin, it does trump. However, when the Chachamim were not Goyzer, then we assume that whatever he did was absolutely kosher and fine and wonderful. Why did the Chachamim have to make Gzeres Mishum Maris Ayin? Apparently there were concerns in the community that there were isolated incidents of people erring and straying from the Jewish religion, and so therefore they said, if anybody has that appearance of impropriety, that could then affect others. Meaning, you have a person, Yankel, and that person, Yankel, is no great tzaddik, and he's no great Talmud Chacham. And then he sees Ariel going to a town on that day of the holiday, he says, I know Ariel is a very choshev yid. He dams for the Amid so beautifully, and he's so religious, and he's so fine and refined. He's going to that town. That means I can go to that town too. If he can go, then I certainly can go. Without realizing that the reason why you're going in that town is because you heard that there are Jewish children that are never being brought up like Goyim, and there you're going to that town to extricate them and to bring them back to Yiddishkeit. That person doesn't know that. He thinks that you're probably going to the town like everybody else. You're going like everybody goes to Mecca on the Chwais whenever their holiday is. So he figures he's going to go there as well, without realizing that you're doing it for pure intentions. He might, Chas v'Shalom, not realize that. So this Maris Ayin means stay away from something that people could misinterpret. Okay? Anyway, getting back to our Gemara. St. Morris says, so don't go in those days. If the road only leads to that place, avad it's osir. If that road leads to other places as well, then you have nothing to worry about. And similarly, what happens if a person is just passing by an idol and he's not paying any participation, any attention to that idol? He has nothing to do with that idol. He's just walking by idly. And unfortunately, he gets a thorn in his foot and it's starting to get very painful. And he wants to remove that thorn and he's in front of the Avodah Zarah. Make sure, lo yishcha v'yitlena, don't go and bend over to pull the thorn out of your foot in front of the Avodah Zarah. Nishan nira ki mishtach l'avodah z'chacham. Anybody that sees that and takes a picture with his iPhone, then of course it's going to go viral because people have nothing else to do all day but watch such narishkaiten. So this person is taking out the thorn and he's bowing down in front of the Avodah Zarah. They'll think he believes in this Avodah Zarah. She can't do that. Then ain't a nira, however, if it is not seen, then it's mutter. What does that mean, the Me'ina Nira? The Gemara will address that in another 10 lines. Just put that aside for a moment. And then it's what? And now the Gemara says...
What's the guy doing in front of the Avodah Zarah? He's walking on the way.
For those that are interested, we had years and years ago on the west side the Melitzer Rebbe Zatzal. Melitzer Rebbe was a great tzaddik, and he lived on 90th Street, and he had a besmedrish on 90th Street, smack in the middle between the Ridnica on 89th and Rabbi Fuant on 91st. The Melitz Rebbe had his Bes Medrash on 90th Street. And if he ever had to walk from his shtiebel to 92nd to 91 or 92, etc., like to Rabbi Fuant shtiebel or further down, he would never walk on the same side of the street where the Timur was, but rather he walked on the other side of the street, not even to be within the Dalet Amos of the Avodah Zarah. But anyway, Bill, you are allowed to walk in front of the Avodah Zarah as long as you have no allegiance and you're not showing in any way, shape, or form any affiliation or allegiance to the Avodah Zarah. Just avoid it, you know, just walk past it and forget about it. However, what happens if he gets that pebble in his shoe, he has to tie his laces or whatever? Don't do it there. Move on when you pass the Avodah Zarah and then remove the koitz from your foot. So Yoshua by Koitz of the Avodah Zarah, Chom Yishcha V'Yitlana, don't bend over and remove it. Neishanira Kim Shtach, what is Chom? V'Meina Nira, but if it's not Nira, then it's Mutter. Again, what means V'Eina Nira? We'll see in another moment what that means. Number three, a similar case. Nispazulay Ma'oisav of the Avodah Zarah, you're walking down the street and your wallet falls out of your pocket and now there are coins all over and you want to pick all the coins up. Don't pick them up in front of the Avodah Zarah. But if it's not near, it's mutter. What does that mean? We'll see in a moment. So the Braisa gives three separate examples, and the Gemara is going to ask, why do I have to give three separate examples? But we're not finished yet. We're going to talk about other cases now. You have a mayan, you have a stream of water, which again is flowing in front of the Avodah Zarah, and you're thirsty. And you don't have with you your handy Polish spring water, and you don't even have with you your Hungarian spring water. So what are you going to go and do? So you want to go and bend over and take some water from the stream. Be careful, don't bend over. The maiden nira, mut. We'll see what that means in a moment. Partzufais and mekalchen mayim lekrochem. Partzufais are similar to, Rashi says, the reason why we talk about krochem is because we want to talk about the big cities, where the big cities, the people conduct themselves big gedula, with great majesty and great glory. So, I don't know if they still have today, but I remember in front of the 42nd Street library, you used to have what appeared to be lions, and then you would see water coming out of their mouths, and make a nice waterfall, and it was very pretty, and of course all the tourists would stand and take pictures, and the same geschäft. Here we're not talking about lions, here we're talking about putzufeim of bnei odam, of human faces, the same thing, that water was coming out of their mouths like a waterfall, and it looked very, very nice. Now what happens if I'm very thirsty, and again I don't have my water with me, says the Gemara lo yinich piv al piem, don't try to go and drink the water by putting your mouth next to the mouth of this partzuf, v'yishteh, people will say that this partzuf is not just some idol. They say it is an idol. It's not just some partzuf of a person. They'll say that this is tak a picture of Oysel Ish or some other a Buddha or some other Avodah Zarah. So don't do it because it looks like you're kissing. That's why you're putting mouth to mouth, not mouth to mouth resuscitation, but mouth to mouth affiliation with this Avodah Zarah. And Kiyotzevoy. Sorry?
And desecration.
And desecration. Kiyotzevoy. Similarly, lo yeniach piv al siloin v'yishta. What happens if you have, again, a stream of water? But this stream of water is not coming from a natural stream on the floor. This is also not coming out of the mouths of babes or out of the partzufeyen, but rather what's coming out is it's a pipe of water on the floor, and you want to drink from that pipe of water. Don't drink from it. What is the sakana that we're talking about? We'll see in the Gemara on the Amud Beis. The sakana is maybe you're going to drink by accident an aluka. What's an aluka? An aluka is a leech. L-E-E-C-H. And a leech is considered to be dangerous because it can bring along with it all types of infections. And if you have the leech going into your intestines and into your stomach, it could be very problematic. So, don't drink water from a siloin without inspecting it first. If you put it into a cup, you can look in the cup to see if there are any leeches. But to go and drink directly from the siloin, from the asakan. We'll see more about this.
Even these innocuous water fountains in our lifetime, 70 years ago, people who get polio, they say, from the water fountains.
Really? So, wow. That's why it's good to have...
I know someone who did back in the early 50s, in the 1950s.
That's why it's good to get the polio vaccine, so we shouldn't have these problems. Right?
It was about the start of it, so yeah. Just before.
Okay, it's great.
In New York, there was a dip. People used to warn, don't drink from the water fountains. Even if it didn't have a lot of zara, any weird, just a normal-looking water fountain.
Gotcha.
And they always warned people about in the country about drinking from hoses, but people did it anyway.
Interesting. Anyway, Mipnei HaSakona, the Sakona, says Rashi, is the saluka, is the leech. And according to our good friend Reb Shlomo, in more modern days, they talked about potential problems of polio. Okay, so now we're going to review the entire braisa once again. Zoktimar, my einu nira. What does that mean? We kept on saying three times. Where do we say? Number one, by the koitz, the thorn. Number two, nispazuloi my oisav, money fell on the floor. Number three, there's a mayan before the idol. Don't do it. Marisayan. The main nira. If it's not near, it's mut. Freitimar, my einu nira. Ilemidle mischazi. The mischazi means nobody is watching. I'm standing there in front of the Avodah Zarah. Nobody's around. I look around in all directions. Is that what it means? Wherever the Chachamim made an Isser Maris Ayin, even if it's B'chadri Chadorim, means room within a room within a room, nobody's around. Know it. Once it's Osir, it's Osir. Don't say nobody's around. It's Osir, period. Loi Plug. So what means Einan Nira? If he does it in a way that he doesn't look like he's mishtachve, then it's mutter. What does that mean? Says Rashi very simply. I have a koitz in my foot. Instead of being in front of the idol and bowing down to bending over to pull out the koitz, just turn around in the other direction. Have your back towards the Avodah Zarah. Or at least have your side to the Avodah Zarah. So it doesn't look like you're bending down to the Avodah Zarah. You're bending down in the other direction. And the same thing is, money is on the floor. Don't bend down to pick it up towards the Avodah Zarah. Turn around with your back to the Avodah Zarah as you're picking it up. And then, it's not that there's no marisayin. You obviously are not even doing what might appear to be an impropriety of bowing down to the Avodah Zarah, because it's your back to the Avodah Zarah. And the same thing, legabe, the mayon, but Freit Yimar yet, why do I have to have three separate cases? Utzricha, Yitron HaKoitz would only say Koitz, Mishum Di Efshel HaMezel Kamei, Umishkele. The reason why we said, don't bend over towards the Avodah Zarah, because of Maris Ayin, because Chucham, why do you have to go and take out the thorn right in front of the Avodah Zarah, walk another 10 feet, and you won't be in front of the Avodah Zarah anymore, and then take out the Koitz, right? Or you have to go and tie your shoes. Okay, it's uncomfortable having the untied shoes. But just walk another 10 feet and you'll tie it then. Oh, so that's why we say don't do it in front of the Avodah Zarah. Av mois deloy efshar. If your money spilled on the ground, there's no way you can go and tell them, oh, collect the money 10 feet away. The money's here in front of the Avodah Zarah. So I would say, loy, emaloy, maybe it's okay. We're not worried about the Maris Ayin issue. Vitan av mois. The Mamoina, in the case of money, the reason why we were machped and said, don't bend over towards the Avodah Zarah to pick up the money. Why? Because after all, it's only money. Money, the Chacham said, just leave it there and be mafker and forget about it. Avakoit Zitzara, Emaloi, the other person is in pain. That's why he wants to take the thorn out. So maybe I would say, this is such a thorny issue that we will allow him to go and bend down and take it out in front of the Avodah Zarah. Vitanahani Tartiv would say those two cases where the Chacham said, no, don't bend over because of the potential of Maris Ayin. Mishum Leka Sakana, that's because there is no Sakana. Aval Mayan de Ika Sakana, when you talk about a Mayan where there is a Sakana because of the Aluka, because of the leech, Diloy Shasi, if he wouldn't drink from it, I'm sorry, the Ika Sakana, the Sakana over here is not the leech. The Sakana over here is Diloy Shasi, because if he's not going to drink Mayas, in other words, why would a person want to drink from the Mayan in front of the Avodah Zarah? Perhaps because he is so dehydrated that he is concerned if he doesn't take a drink quickly, chuli levachas, the person can go into cardiac arrest and he might die. So Ein Maloi, I would say, in this situation, because of potential sakana, you're allowed to bend down and drink and drink and drink in front of the Avodah Zarah. That's why I have to have all three cases. Don't do anything that might appear to be bowing down to the Avodah Zarah. What you can always do is go and turn around in the other direction with your back to the Avodah Zarah, and that would be the Heter. Now, why do we have to continue on with the Masim and the Partzufis? We're on Yud Beis, Amid Beis. Partzufis Lomeli. Why do I need that case of don't put your mouth close to the mouth of that Partzuf, because it might look like you're kissing a Partzuf of Avodah Zarah? I'll tell you, really I don't need that case, because I already got you three separate cases. How many cases do I need? Do I have to bring 20 cases? Mishum de kaboy le misti ki oy tziboy le niach piv al gabi asiloin b'yishte em ne'asakana. Ah, the Partzufis case was really not so much because of the Avodah Zarah, but we're concerned about if you're going to allow a person to drink from the waters emanating from the Partzuf, you might drink the waters from the siloin, which is on the ground. And the siloin, which is on the ground, that I'm concerned might have in it the leech that we spoke about, ne'asakana. And therefore, says the Gemara, I'm so concerned about sakana of drinking from a sea line, from the pipe on the ground, that the Chum said, don't even drink from the water that is emanating from the parts of, maybe it comes from a similar source, stay away. What's the sakana? The sakana of the aluka of the leech that we spoke about. A person is desperate to drink, he has no water, he shouldn't go to the river and start drinking from the river, from the agam. Agam are swamps or marshes. Loi befiv, directly with your mouth into the water. Loi biyodi achas, don't put one hand in and like a cup, or like a, you cup your hand and you drink from that. And why can't you do that? Says Rashi, because when you take water in your hand, you obviously have a very small quantity, and the water is pouring through your fingers. So normally people don't bother investigating and inspecting the hand with the water, because if you're going to inspect too long, there's not going to be any water left. So people then just take the water quickly in their hand, dump it into their mouth, and they don't realize that there might be an aluka, the imshasa, and if he did drink like that, either directly from the nohar or agam, or directly from his from one hand, it's like bringing on the possibility of a tragedy on himself. In other words, it's what we would call suicidal. What's a sakana? My sakana, sakana is aluka. V'sayle Rav Chanina, Yom Rav Chanina, haboileya nima shel mayim. Nima, what's my nima? Says Rashi, that's an aluka. Aluka again is that leech. What's the din if you swallow a leech? Mutter lehochim lechamen b'Shabbos. You're allowed to, on Shabbos Kodesh, go and quickly cook up hot water, so that the person should go and drink from that hot water, and that hot water, hopefully, when it goes down, it will overwhelm the leech. The leech will die, he'll have a premature death, and you don't have to worry about it. So you see what a sakana it was, that you're allowed to cook on Shabbos. This was considered to be a real sakonis nefashis. And there was such a story. This is not just a theoretical halacha. Halacha lemaisa, Reb Nechemia said you're allowed to cook water on Shabbos against the possibility of sakana. And now the Gemara tells us some remedy in the interim. Ad hachi v'hachi. Anybody that has ever cooked up water in a pot or in a kettle knows that it's got to take at least 3, 4, 5, 10 minutes until it cooks up. What happens to the leech in the meantime? You know how much damage the leech could be doing until you go and drink this hot water. What you have to do, says the Gemara, is at hachi v'hachi amravuna bered of Yeshua ligma chala. Let him go and drink vinegar, because vinegar is a good temporary remedy against the leech. It's not a permanent remedy, but it's a temporary remedy. And by the time he finishes drinking the vinegar, hopefully the hot water will be hot enough. He'll drink it, and that will end the sakana of the aluka. And now the Gemara talks about similar problems. Umrab Idi Bar Avin, Hayman de Bola. Yes, you're entitled to two.
I know that this is much, much earlier than all the knowledge, human knowledge about bacteria and all that, but at what point did the rabbis have an idea that there were other dangers in water that were not visible? For instance, the leech is very visible. I mean, you can't miss it, generally. But like bacterial dangers, they kill you.
Mm-hmm. What was that, Bill? The Gemara does not address any other sakana other than what we can have in a moment, someone who swallowed a hornet, and or someone drinking water at night where there's a problem of evil demons. But modern day questions like bacteria and things of that nature, to my knowledge, are not certainly not dealt with today in the Gemara. Maybe we'll have it in a future Gemara.
More than 500 years we've known this, but I think the rabbis had some inkling of it. Some of the rabbis had inkling about this from what I've read before.
So it could very well be in Shulchan Aruch we have halachas about things like that. Being careful about modern day leeches in terms of bacteria and infections
like
and other stuff.
Giardia and all the viruses, Giardia and other things from human animal waste and rivers and ponds and things that they with these waterways. This is very common. People get sick all the time. They're out in the woods. They drink from water sources that they think are clean.
Camping. I was up in the Golan. You think of pristine water, and we run this rafting thing, and all around were these cows coming into this freshwater stream, and they did their thing there, you know. Hey, you could think you could drink in this beautiful water coming rain. I hear moan and whatever. No, be careful.
Very good. Speaking about virus, if you'll permit me, I'll go off on a second on a quick milza dibedichasa. They say that the story was that the Satmaruv Zatzal once was coming into Bes Medrash and he saw the Oilam there, and then he asked about one of the congregants that was missing. And so someone said he's not feeling well. So he said, no, Vus Hote, what does he have? So he says he has a virus. So the Rebbe says, no, of course it has to be a virus. Not feeling well doesn't come from mitzvahs, it only comes from a virus. So the fact that he says it was a virus, he said, no, there's a virus. Mitzvahs kimt es nicht. He wouldn't be sick from mitzvahs, only from a virus. Okay, anyway, let's continue on. Zukti Muraviter, just like you shouldn't go and drink water without checking out whether it has leeches in it. Says the Gemara, Omrav Idi Bar Avin, Hay Mandabala Zibura, a person who eats and swallows a hornet, Mech Yolechaya, there's no remedy. He's not going to live. Maybe today, of course, they have different modern day medicines. But at least in that time, the person wouldn't live. Miu, however, we can give a temporary remedy, Lishakya Reviosa Dechala Shamgaz, let him go and drink very strong vinegar, a revius of strong vinegar, efshe dechaya porta, that might give him an extension on life for at least another 12 hours or 24 hours or whatever, at the mafkid abeise, so that he can quickly go and write up a last will and testament. Because you got to call the chevra kedisha. Don't bother with hatzala. This person is a goner. What you can do to give him at least another extension of life for the next 12 hours, 24 hours, 48 hours, give him to drink this strong vinegar. And then hopefully he'll be able to go and give his last will and testament. Are you saying something, Brother Shai?
Someone asked what's the translation of a zibura.
Zibura is a hornet.
But isn't zibura also a bee?
Yes. Apparently a bee is not as poisonous as a hornet. In fact, I know a number of people that have gotten bee stings over the years, including myself, and we've, Baruch Hashem, although it was very painful, we all, Baruch Hashem, survived. But apparently eating a hornet is much, much worse. I can't speak for modern-day hornets. Things may have changed in the metabolism of either people or hornets. Maybe it's not as dangerous today as it was. As you know, the Rambam has a whole section about foods that are nutritious that one should eat and foods that one should not eat. And later, Achronim say, do not follow that Rambam l'halocha today, because the teva of people has changed over the years, and what may have been very nutritious years ago may not be as nutritious for the body today, and vice versa. So, same thing, I don't know whether it's the same type of sakana today to swallow a hornet. Obviously, it's not a good thing to do. It's also not kosher. However, whether it's that same sakana, vesach nish. But
They used to eat them in New York, hornet.
They used to eat it? Okay. Okay.
But in the Chumash, they're
driving out the enemy.
Yeah, that's a Sira.
No,
that
lesson's a Sira. Okay. You're right. Zibur is normally defined as a bee. But in our case, it's to be or not to be. That's the question. And the answer is, it's not to be. It's a hornet. Zoki Marbait.
The hornets are beneficial. They would drive out the enemies in the time of Yehoshua. You know.
That for the enemies anyway, they're very beneficial. Down, for the enemies they're beneficial, down, but not for the Jews.
But it started with the shofar, which was the horn.
Brother Shai, do you have an art scroll Gemara in front of you?
Yes.
How does he define the word zibura?
He says hornet.
Hornet. Okay, so Baruch Hashem, hornet. So on that high note, let's continue on. Turn around. Lo yishta odam mayim balai. The person should not drink water at night. Rashi says we don't mean drinking water from a nohor or an agam, even drinking from kalim. If you have a container with water in it. Now we're not talking about giloy over here. Giloy means that you left the water open, because then there was a problem years ago in rural communities that a nochosh might have drunk from it and left some poison behind. That's
venom.
Venom, exactly. Not poison, but venom. Thank you. But that's not the issue over here. The issue is, even in a container, m'shasadam b'rosh m'ni ha-sakona, my sakona, sakonis shavriri. Now you're wondering, vos is a shavriri, says Rashi. Shavriri is a shindalit, an evil demon, hamamuna almakas sanverim, who is in charge of blindness, chas v'sholem. This evil demon up in Shemayim, his job is to cause people to chas v'sholem to become blind. And so therefore, don't blindly drink from the water at night without the light on, because you might be under the dominion of this shavriri shed, evil demon. Stay away. So what should you do, says Igmar? Vimtzachi, I'm thirsty, I want a drink, what can I do? Maitakante, what is this takana? Zokimar, iikachrin bahadei lisraya. If he has a chaver nearby, wife, whatever, in his apartment, in his room, wake up that other person, and now there'll be two people. The evil demons were afraid of two. They would start up with one person isolated, but not with two people. So, wake up somebody else, then you don't have a problem. Valei malei.
Don't wake up your wife, because she may be upset at you.
Okay, but this is a sakon over here. Valei malei tzchina maya. And let him cry out, the reason why I'm waking you is because I'm thirsty and I have to drink. And then the shavriri will run away and won't stick around. The Eloi, what happens if there's nobody else? You're staying by yourself in your own room and nobody else around. So make a lot of noise. How can you make a lot of noise? Nekarkish benichtema achatzva. You have this barrel of water, and on top of it, there's the nichtema. Nichtema means the cover. Take the cover and bang against the barrel, and then you'll have the shavriri over the barrel, in the sense that he will be scared, he hears a lot of noise, and that will shoo him away. Zokti Gemara, v'deima iu l'nafshe, and then he should say the following lachash. Lachash in fancy English is called an incantation. What should he go and say? He should say, planya bar plonisa, ploini ben ploinis, meaning his name, son of his mother's name, omr loch imech, don't you remember your mother taught you when you were a little kid? Is dire mi shavriri. Stay away from the shavriri. Briri, riri, yiri, ri. Bechasei chivri. You keep on going down from shavriri, as you see, slowly but surely cutting up the name into small little pieces. Says Rashi, when the shavri will hear that we're doing miut tevois, one after the other, we're taking the shavriri, and from Lashon shever, we're breaking down the shavriri slowly but surely from the big name shavriri to briri, riri, ri, ri. He'll be so scared that he will run away. What means mikasi chibri? Mikasi chibri means in either white, or it means new koises, new cups. That's part of the lachash, and then the shavriri will go away, the sakana will go away, and mazal alizan gezint in stark. Stop over here, Mitchum, think it can be continued tomorrow, hopefully.